Let's just start with prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to you as a body, Lord. A bunch of children seeking their Father. And Father, we thank you for your presence here with us this morning, Lord. Let it be pleasing in your sight, Lord. And let us draw closer to our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen. 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 Pastor, you want to come up and tell people what we're doing?
I got your attention, didn't I? You notice there was kind of a weird twang to it? That's me. All right, so the first thing we want to do, we're going to actually have a time of communion in just a moment. But even before that, Heidi and Joel, I saw you somewhere. I don't know if you're here. Oh, good. Would you guys come on up here for a minute? We're going to make you uncomfortable just for a minute. I know you don't like attention. Come on down. You're the next contestant on The Blessing is Right. All right. Thank you guys for coming up here. We just wanted to take a minute, and we're going to be praying. Joel, is there anything? Joel's going to be going, and Heidi are going to be going on a missions trip for the next 3 weeks. Is that correct? To Costa Rica. Is that right? And so for those of you who don't know, Joel and Heidi have been with us for a while now, and they have been missionaries for approximately 30 years on the field. And they've been back with us for a while, so they're going on a short-term mission trip right now and just praying for all God's will. So it'll be 3 weeks. So I just want to let you know, so Joel doesn't even know this, but what we're doing is we're helping as a body. You guys all tithe. You guys all give in the back in that little bird box regularly. And so we're going to help with some of their expenses getting down there to Costa Rica. And so we're doing that together as a body to help them do missions and to bring the gospel to other folks. And we want to support them financially, but also we want to encourage them with prayer. And so I'm going to give, do you guys, is there anything you want to say? I know you don't like microphones, but is there anything you want to say before we pray?
Yeah, this is a this is an opportunity again for us to go back overseas. And when I was down in Costa Rica last year, you know, we've been taking this Bible study, experiencing God. I saw God working down there, and I'm thinking that God gave an invitation through a pastor to come and help. More like on a full-time basis. Something that I have never done before. I have a mechanical ability, but this would be evangelism, sort of like. And when he asked me, I said, well, God, I don't have that gift. So through this course, I learned that God works through your weakness, and he will equip you. So we're going down there, and I'm going to see. I asked the Lord, says, if to make that invitation again, and I'm going to respond. And that's a crisis of belief. I'm going to respond and say, okay, now show me, work through me, what you want me to do, what you want us to do. So we ask for your prayers that we would listen for the Lord and obey for what he has. Thank you.
So let's take a minute and pray, and we're just trying to pray. God's going to be using them for the next 3 weeks, but we're also praying, you know, God, what's your will down there? Do you want them to just be doing short-term missions trips? Do you want them to be doing spending 6 months down there? Do you want them to be spending ministering full-time? It's whatever God wants. And so it's so awesome when God is working and moving. And so we just want to pray for them for no matter what. And even if they're just going down there every year, and this is a regular thing where they're going down doing missions, whatever God has for them, that's what we want for them, right? Yeah. So let's take a minute and let's pray for both. Gary, can I get you up here too on the other side just so that they're surrounded? And if you guys wouldn't mind just praying with us, it's pretty incredible what God's doing. I love it. Father, we just want to say thank you for who you are, Lord. We want to say thank you for moving amongst us, Lord God. Thank you for speaking to us, Lord God. Thank you for helping us to learn to hear your voice better, Lord. Thank you for challenging Heidi and Joel, Lord. Seeing you working and then calling and responding, getting that crisis of belief and responding with faith and action. Now they're seeing you work, Lord God, and it's exciting for them, Lord. And so we just pray for your will to be done in this situation, on this trip, Lord God. We pray that you would use Joel and Heidi, however you would use them to speak your word boldly, Lord, not on their own ability, but on the supernatural ability of the Holy Spirit living inside them, Lord God. That they would speak your words, Lord, that they would have your eyes, Lord, when they look at people, when they think about people, that they would minister your word to other people, Lord. That's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray for your blessing of protection down there, Lord. And we pray also, Lord, no matter what, that they would just remain faithful to you in whatever they do, Lord. So speak to them clearly, Lord God, and help them to hear your voice clearly, Lord God, and to do what it is you want them, not what Joel wants and not what Heidi wants, but what you want, Lord, whatever that is, Lord God. We pray a blessing and anointing on both of them, Lord God. And we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you please pray for them over the next 3 weeks? And when are you leaving exactly?
Next Saturday.
So would you please be praying for them actually over the next month that God would be strengthening them, encouraging them, and using them in miraculous ways?
Actually, we leave next Friday and drive to Fort Lauderdale and catch a plane on Saturday.
And go from there. Okay, great. Hi, go, neighbor. Okay.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Well,
it's hard to do church without doing at least one or two songs, so we're going to do a couple here this morning. So why don't we stand and sing Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. Isn't that right? This is Communion Sunday. It's a focused time to remember the sacrifice that he's done as well as the gift that he has given us, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this I plead, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. There you go, Gary.
Elijah, could you turn on the lights for me, please? See, does everyone have a Bible? Anyone need one? Raise your hand. And I bet Joe would be good enough to pass some out for us. You want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And George, could you go back to the first slide from Nothing But the Blood? This week, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 23. Beginning of the week, I asked the Lord what he would have us do with communion this morning, and first he brought me to this passage, and then to teaching by John Corson that I found interesting. Join me as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. It's interesting, if you look up the definition, and this is a secular definition of the word communion, it's the sharing of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially when the exchange is on the mental or spiritual level. I know many bodies, they call it celebrating the Eucharist. And the Eucharist in Hebrew is actually means thanksgiving. If you look in verse 24, and I never really saw this before, thought about it, right? And that Jesus says in both 24 and 25, do this in remembrance of me. Right? Jesus asked us to do one thing in remembrance of him. Celebrate communion as a group of believers. So what are we remembering? Right? Most times when we give a communion message, we remember his death. And it's a somber thought. Right, the sacrifice that he made. And we're reminded of our sins that we need to confess, repent of, take to the Lord, because that's the price of the cross. That's what it cost him. And that's a somber thought. And it's an appropriate thought for us to have. But this morning, I want to look beyond that a little bit. And that we also need to remember the significance of his death. And what is the significance of his death? It's the power of the resurrection that comes with it. It's a celebration of thankfulness. At least it should be for us. And that without the resurrection, we're a lost people. If you go to, verse 27, I think? Yeah, verse 27, therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. In the verses before, verses 17 to 22, Paul is actually rebuking the Corinthians because they came together to eat the Lord's Supper. And frankly, it turned into a, free-for-all is what I would put it. You know, me first. Get out of my way. I'm busy celebrating the Lord's Supper. So I asked myself, well, what does it mean to do it unworthily? How do you take the Lord's Supper unworthily? Right? Hebrew translates that word as either anxious or irreverently. So what does it mean to take it irreverently? In the past, I probably said it myself, that, you know, if you're a non-believer and you take communion without trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and that in effect you're mocking him, right? And the Word tells us that God will not be mocked. And I warn you, you know, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, and that, see Pastor or me afterwards, we need to have a talk. Is there something very important in your life that's missing? And that, but you don't want to mock the Lord by taking the Lord's Supper. But more importantly than that, I think, is if we don't recognize the worth of the resurrection, we miss so many of the blessings. Paul was a trained rabbinical student, and he was trained to be a rabbi. And I think a couple passages might have come to his mind, passages that we're probably familiar with, Isaiah 53, beginning in verse 3. He, Jesus, was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom the people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Or perhaps Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. This is Jesus quoted this about himself, by the way. Because of the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, in the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. So how do we make sure that we don't take the Lord's Supper unworthily? Well, Paul tells us in verse 26, a man and woman ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks of the cup. That's how we not do it unworthily. We consider not only the cross, but the resurrection. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. So if we don't, if we take communion worthily, we are not drinking judgment on ourselves. We are rather bringing those blessings on ourselves. We're aware of the power of the cross, the power of the resurrection, to change our lives, to have us be different people. It's fascinating that the Lord would have Nathan choose nothing but the blood, right? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So as the men pass out the elements, take a moment, pray, contemplate, think about not only the sacrifice that the Lord made, and if the Lord's convicting you of any sin in your life, that now's the perfect time to confess and repent. But it's also time to think about the power of the Lord, the power of the resurrection to change our lives. Father, use this time that your name might be glorified and your people would be blessed, Lord. Let us truly do this in remembrance of you and your sacrifice and your resurrection. In the name of our Savior Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
All right, if you have not taken the elements, please feel free to take them now. Thank the Lord. Father, we do just want to say thank you, Lord God, for the blood, Lord, that cleanses us from all sin, Lord God. That's just amazing to me, Lord. All the dumb stuff we get into, the stuff we think, the stuff we do, it's so dumb. And your blood, Lord, if we receive you as Lord and Savior, cleanses us from all that sin, Lord God. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your body, Lord God. Not only did you cleanse us from all our past sins, but also you lived the life that we couldn't live, Lord God. And you gave us that life, Lord, because of your body given for us, Lord. We've got that sinless life. We've got Jesus Christ. We can put on the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Thank you for the living life we couldn't live, Lord, that we can be with you forever, Lord. I pray that you would strengthen your people, Lord God. Just look among your people. Just touch them right now, Lord God. You know the ones who are hurting, the ones who are weak, Lord, emotionally, the ones who are in pain, Lord God, that love you and that are serving you, Lord God. Lord, you know right now the ones that their spouses are struggling, their kids are struggling, whatever it is, the job is hard, Lord, the finances are crippling. Lord, you are bigger than all those things, Lord. You are Jehovah Jireh, our great provider, Lord God. So we ask a sweeping blessing upon your people that you would provide exactly what each person needs. Would you strengthen them in their inner man, Lord God? Would you strengthen their heart towards you, Lord God? And would you direct their eyes to fix on you, the starter and the finisher of their faith, Lord God? Remind them it's not about them, it's about you, Lord God. And that your word says no one can snatch them out of their Father's hands. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, that you are faithful even when we are knucklehead faithfulness, faithless, Lord. You are still faithful to us, Lord. So bless your people, strengthen and encourage them today, Lord. And for anyone here who does not know you, Lord, I pray that today would be the day of salvation, Lord God, that they would just give it all over to you, Lord, saying, I want to be in your camp, firmly rooted. I want to seek you and find you with all my heart, Lord. Will you save me, Lord? Would you save them today, Lord God, and bless this service, Lord? In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, welcome, everybody. We are very, very glad that you are here and that God brought you out on this cold, rainy day. I'm so glad to see so many of you. I was going to make a little joke about, well, I guess I won't because the Lord's convicting me. Okay, so no jokes for you. We have a couple announcements to go over, and then we'll get to our Bible study teaching. We don't have any Panera bread today to give away, but we do have some very unhealthy sugar ball donuts in the back. Also, you guys know to give in the little bird box in the back. That's where you give. God loves a cheerful giver. And I just want to say thank you for all the folks who give faithfully every week, every month, and your tithes go back in there. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for blessing the Lord. Thank you for trusting in him so faithfully. You guys know that we're all about equipping the saints, and you guys already know about this. We've got on our website our teachings that you, if you've missed anything in the past, we've got audio books, audio DVD. We've got family DVDs, books for loaner in the back room back there. You guys know all this stuff. Give me just a second. We also want to just invite you guys again. You know, get out of your comfort zone. If you want to come out Sunday mornings around 9:15 and come out and pray with Gary and the others, we would love to have you. Get out of your comfort zone. Purposely get up a little bit early. It's easy to stay in bed, and we can be lazy without the Lord, but get up and go. And so also Bible studies. We've got the men's Bible studies on the first and third Tuesdays at 6 p.m. and dinner at 6:30. Guys, want to encourage you to come out on those Tuesdays, and we're going through the book of Ephesians with Gary. Also, we're going through the book of the Women's Bible Study. We're going through the book of Ephesians with Erica, and I've heard every Bible study that has been fantastic. And so that's the second Tuesday of each month from 6:30 to 8. And ladies, I would encourage you to come out and to just to be a part of that. Lord. Also, I know Josh and Amanda Panda aren't here because they're camping this weekend. I was thinking, they were so excited. Oh, Lord, bless them. Oh, we're just going to get away in a little tent. And no. So I'm sure they're hopefully having a great time. Yes. Oh, he got sick. Oh, yeah. It was like 50 degrees, and it was like, and he's sick, too. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, let's stop and pray for little Jasper right now. Okay. Father, we just thank you for Josh and Amanda Panda, Lord. We just ask for a blessing over Jasper, Lord. If there's anything, demonic, Lord, that's making him so frightful, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we ask a hedge of protection around him, that you would just push the enemy back in Jesus' name, that he would take any hands off of Jasper, Lord God, and that you would just send your angelic hosts, Lord, just to around to protect them and that family, Lord, and that you would direct all people to yourself. Touch them, heal them. If it's something physically, Lord, that you would give mom and dad wisdom, Lord God, on how to treat that. And we ask that in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And also, we're going to be, I know she doesn't want the attention especially, but thank you all for praying for Vicky. Last week, last Sunday, she is here today, even in the front row, even with her pain and the migraines. Thank you, Lord, for that. So a couple of us are going to pray afterwards. If you'd like to pray over her, you can come up afterwards. We're going to lay hands on her and anoint her with oil. And so if the Lord puts that on your heart and you would like to be a part of that, we'd love to invite you to pray over her, pray for healing. Okay, also, Experiencing God, Thursdays at 6:30 to 8:30. Man, let me tell you something. We had such an amazing time last Thursday. It was awesome. I honestly feel bad if you're not here and you're missing it. This is not a guilt thing. I don't know, when God moves, it's just so exciting. It's so fun. Somebody was telling me last Thursday, he's like, this is amazing. When God's doing stuff, and I'm almost like addicted to it. Gary was right. I just want more. I just want more. And I was like, yeah. And so, and you could even hear by the testimony of Heidi and Joel, you know, taking the course. They're seeing God work, and they're experiencing God do things and challenging them and to get out of your comfort zone. So I want to encourage you all, do the homework. Seek him now while he may be found. Does that make sense? If you're doing it now, if you haven't done that, this is, we're on week three, so if the Lord's still challenging you and you haven't done it, come see me, and we'll figure out a way for you to take the course, but I just want to encourage you, stay faithful, finish the job, persevere, stay strong. That's my encouragement to all you experiencing Godders, okay? And we'll see you next Thursday. Is Wendy Jo here anywhere? Wendy Jo is not here? Okay, we'll have to rebuke her. Okay, so we're having a family game night, right? That's next Saturday, is that right? At 4 p.m. right here. And so it's open to everybody. We've got folks from 5, 6, 7, 8 playing games all the way up to, 80, 90, Gary's age. We've got everybody, all sorts of people, different games. So all we ask is bring your favorite game. If it's Monopoly, if it's, Life, if it's Rummy Cubes, if it's Settlers of Catan, whatever it is, Risk, bring it out, and that'll be next Saturday, 4 p.m. to whenever, and bring a snack to share. So I know my kids will be here. They're bugging me about it. Anyway, okay, so normally we go verse by verse through the Bible. We were in the book of Daniel. We closed it out, chapter 12. Also, if you missed last week, thank you guys for being so patient. It was amazing, the teaching. I didn't realize. Everybody was like, wow, so cool, so cool. That was an hour and I think in 20 minutes long. That was so long. Thank you guys for being so patient. But we talked about so much, shining like stars in the heaven. We talked about the just what the Antichrist is going to look like, what he's going to do, that great tribulation period, the seven seals and what's going to happen on the earth, and the seven trumpets and the seven bowls of wrath in Revelation. We spent tons of time on that, and it was just an amazingly blessed God time. And so if you didn't listen to that, I would encourage you to listen to that on the website. But today, we've got something a little bit different. We have got Mark Manley somewhere. He was nice enough to offer, since we just finished the book of Daniel. Oh, Mark, hi, come on up. And Nathan, would you do me a favor? Would you get him that little thing pinned in the back of him? We're going to be, he's nicely volunteered so that I can spend a Saturday with my family, which I had a really wonderful time doing this weekend. And so he's going to be teaching on the book of John to give me a little bit of a break. And so we just like to take a minute and pray for him and ask for God to speak through him to each one of us, because he's speaking on the Holy Spirit, and that is so important. All right, so let's take a minute. And let's pray right now for Mark. Father, we just want to say thank you for Mark Manley, Lord. We ask for your anointing to be upon him in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask for your anointing of humility in Jesus Christ's name to be upon him, Lord, that he may speak your words with truth and with boldness and with love and with sincerity and with humility, Lord. We ask that you would help him, Lord God, to even think your thoughts, Lord God. So help him to put off anything that's weighing him down or any yucky thoughts that are in his mind, Lord, and give him your peace and your perspective right now, Lord. Your clarity of vision right now, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, and help us to have listening ears to whatever your Holy Spirit has to say to us. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen, and amen.
Can you hear me? Is this you?
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Okay. I'd like to just pray before we get started here. Father God, in Jesus' name we come. And this morning, Lord, I pray that your words are my words, that my words will not be heard by anyone, only your voice will be heard. I thank you for this opportunity because I just know how important it is to have that relationship with you and the relationship with Jesus and the relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. May we have a proper expectation of hearing from you, of knowing that when we do hear from you, it is you. It's not some strange voice. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been going through the book of John 14. And today, we're going to go through 14, verse 17 through 25. Starting in verse 17. It's going to be a...
Say that again.
John 14. And if you're there, we're good. Because we're going to start with the context of where we have been. So we'll look at John 14:1. There are so many important, wonderful things that Jesus says to each of us in this book. And we're going to start with 14:1. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." How awesome is that? That is his first word of encouragement to each of us. Let not your heart be troubled. So my prayer for each of us is if we have a troubled heart this morning, whatever it is, let's just turn it over to the Lord. Because I know there's a lot of stuff that's going on in the body of this church. It's all kinds of different attacks. It could be in a job. It could be financial. It could be health. There could be any number of different things. But the Lord Jesus Christ himself says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." And why can we do this? Well, go to verse 6. Jesus says, after Thomas asks him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." We trust in him. That's where our trust is. No matter what, no matter what's happening, no matter what's going on, no matter what the difficulty, no matter what the trial, we trust in Jesus. Then we look at verse 9. It said, Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long time with you, Philip, and yet you have not known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. And you say, show us the Father?" When we look at Jesus, many times people say, "Well, geez, I think God is an eternal, he's got a big stick up there, and he wants to play whack-a-mole, and every time I make a mistake, he wants to bang me in the head." And that's not the truth. The truth is God the Father is a loving Father. He who has seen Jesus has seen God the Father. And the love that Jesus has for people, God the Father has for people, because he gave up all of his own rights and privileges as God to come down and be our Savior and Redeemer. He could only do what the Father said and do what the Father does. So when we see Jesus, we see the Father. That's really, really good news. So if you think of he's playing whack-a-mole, forget about that. It is not happening. Then in verse 12, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father." How in the world can we do that? Well, the answer is we can't. The answer is he can. Through us. The power of the Holy Spirit in us, through us, as us, with us, is one that does it. Our responsibility is to get out of the way. Okay? I have to get out of the way in order to allow him to do his work. I got some good news and I got some better news. The good news is we can't live the life that God calls us to live. The better news is Jesus can. And that's our job, is to allow him to live his life through us. If we try to do it the other way, I got to tell you, I've over 60 years lived a life of frustration, anger, being upset because I knew I was not fulfilling the call that God had on my life. And I wasn't doing it right, no matter how hard I tried. Then I came to Colossians. And it is, I'm just going to read it. Because, I mean, it's
It's the key to life itself. And in chapter 1, verse 25, it says, of this church, this is Paul speaking, of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the word of God. Now, some of your Bibles, probably all of them, say the preaching of the word of God. Well, all that does is, by putting those two words in there, that means, well, the whole thing is going out and preaching. That's not correct. Take that out of there. Carry out the word of God. And that is when Jesus said in verse 12, the works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto the Father. Well, there's a whole lot more there than preaching. It's called living. Every step you take, every breath you take is from him, for him, by him, for, and not, some of it is for you, but a whole lot of it is for someone else. What you do when we feel sorry for ourselves is rob those around us from receiving the benefits that God has for them, that he wants to bestow on them through you. Okay? So that I may fully carry out the word of God. The ministry which has been hidden from the ages and generations, but now has been manifested to his saints. That's us. We are his saints. To whom God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this ministry among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in us doing the work. It's Christ in us living his life through us that blesses other people. Okay? Then in verse 13, he says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified. We talked about how that's not a magic wish list or a laundry list or any of those types of things. That's asking in the character of God. Knowing what that is, it's allowing him to pray through you, for you, and for others. Okay? That's what it's all about. And the only way that that can happen is because of the name of Jesus Christ. That name which is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And the reason that God lifted him up and gave that name, that power, was because he was willing and obedient and gave up all of his rights and privileges as the Son of God to come down and do what God the Father called him to do. That's what we're called to do. And we can't do it on our own. We can only do it through his power. And the question has been asked many times, how do I get that? Where do I get that? How does that work? I don't understand. Please tell me, what is it all about? Well, here we go. Starting in verse 17, or let's start in 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, that's the same word. That's the same Spirit. That's the same character. Okay? The Holy Spirit has the same character as Jesus, as the Father, all in one. God in three persons, Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, each one having separate functions, all required for the redemption and the relationship. Okay? That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him,
because he abides with you and will be in you. It is no longer after Jesus is crucified and he raises again from the dead. It's no longer going to be an external relationship. It's going to be internal. Okay? We're going to go over that in a little bit more detail here in just a few minutes. And I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. How awesome is that? How many of us have ever been afraid of being alone? Being left alone, being terrified. Well, Jesus answers that. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me. Because I live, you shall live also. In that day, the day that he comes back, that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you, he who has my commands and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. And Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourselves to us and not to the world? You see, the disciples were still looking for him to be the earthly savior, to overthrow Rome, to take control and bring prominence back to the Jewish people. They were still, after 3 years of hearing him, they were still looking for the wrong thing. But that's okay, because they did not have the Holy Spirit to give them guidance and direction. Internally, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, was walking with them and teaching them. Okay? And Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our abode, our home with them. He who does not love me does not keep my word. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. He spoke the words so that they could hear them in their ears. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He wanted them to hear that. Okay? So that when the Holy Spirit came and he gave them the word internally, they'd say, wait a minute, I remember that. Wow, this is how this works. Oh, okay. And so the context of what we want to talk about today is really in John 16, verse 33. You say, wait a minute. We haven't even finished John 14 and gone through 15 or 16 yet. So why are we jumping to the end of 16? Well, it's because when Gary spoke last time, this was one of the verses that was in there. And this gives us, in my opinion, the context for all of life. From the first moment that we come into this world and until we breathe our last and leave this earth. Jesus starts out, he says, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. He's telling us, you're not going to have peace unless it's in me. That's your true identity. That's who you really are. You need to take your identity from me, and then you can have peace. The second thing he says is, in the world, you will have tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the world. The second thing he says is, in the world, you will have tribulation. And we're going to talk about why that is. Okay? But again, he gives us that word of encouragement. That says, take courage. I have overcome the world. There's nothing that's going to happen to any of us when we breathe air in this world that is going to take him by surprise. He's not going to go, oops, I didn't see that one coming. Or, oh no, what do I do now? He has overcome everything.
And the world, the word world there, overcome the world, that word is cosmos. And that is the totality of all of creation. Anything that has been created in the universe, he has overcome. So that means bank accounts. That means things of health. Does that mean I'm going to be healed and be able to, you know, walk around as I always have? Oh, that's such good news. That may not mean that. The ultimate healing that we get happens when we get our heavenly bodies. Incorruptible. Eternal. But this body that we walk in, it's going to break down. We are dying day by day. It's getting older and creakier. I can tell you that from firsthand experience. The older I get, it's easier to get down, but it's a lot harder to get back up. I mean, that's just the way it is. So those are the things that we want to talk about today. And it was really explained very well in this book, Experiencing God, the class that we're taking, that, I don't know, 35 people, I think that's how many are in the class. And this week, when I started doing last week when I started doing the homework, it opened up, and the scripture verse was Psalm 20, verse 7. And it's, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. We trust in Jesus, the name which is above every other name. And then it started out with an account. It says, this is a college campus Bible studies. A church I pastored began to sense God's leading us to an outreach ministry to the university campus. Neither I nor our church had done any student work before. Our denominational student ministry department recommended that we begin with Bible study in the dormitories. For over a year, we tried to start one, but it did not work. Over a year. In their own strength, in their own effort, in their own attempt to do what God wanted them to do, it, guess what? It didn't work. One Sunday, I pulled our students together and said, this week, I want you to go to campus, watch to see where God is working, and join him. They asked me to explain. God had impressed on my heart these two scriptures. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. That's Romans 3, 10 and 11. And he also said, no one can come to me, Jesus, unless the Father who sent me draws him. That's John 6:44. Said, I explained, according to these passages, people don't seek God in their own initiative. And that's what they were working in, their own initiative and other people's initiatives and all this kind of stuff. They're trying to figure it out in their heads. We won't ask about spiritual matters unless God is working in their lives. When you encounter someone who is seeking God or asking about spiritual matters, you are seeking God. You're seeing God at work. That's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's doing the work. We got to listen for him. I also told the students, if someone asks you spiritual questions, whatever else you are scheduled, cancel the plans. Go with that individual and look to see what God is doing in that person's life. That week, our students went out to see where God was at work in their campus to join him. On Wednesday, one of the young women reported, Pastor, a girl who had been in class with me for almost 2 years came to me after class today. She said, I think you might be a Christian. I need to talk to you. I remembered what you said. I had a class at that time, but I skipped it. We went to the cafeteria to talk. She said, 11 of us girls have been studying the Bible, and not one of us is a Christian. Do you know anybody who could lead us in a Bible study? Duh!
I could have had a V8. As a result of that contact, we started 3 Bible study groups in the women's dorms and 2 in the men's dorms. Now here's the payoff. Are you ready? For 2 years, we had tried to do something for God and failed. For 3 days, we looked to see where God was working and join Him. What a difference it made. 2 years, zippity-doo-dah in the fruit department. 3 days, 5 Bible studies. Okay, so here's my question. Which side are you on? Are you trying to do stuff in your own strength? Are you frustrated with that? Are you tired of trying so hard and not having any results? Go to John. Open it to chapter 14. And read what it says about the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. Okay? He lives in you. We should expect. We should live a life of expectancy. We should expect Him to speak to us. We should expect Him to minister through us. We should not expect Him. Now Joel and Heidi got a call. They have a call to go. I don't know how many thousand miles away to do a work that was started last year, and they're going to go back and they're going to continue in that work. But when He calls us, usually he doesn't. We don't even have to go across the street. Okay? Or across town. I could be in the coach that Debbie and I live in. And he could say, Mark, shut your yapper and listen to what your wife is saying. Does he talk to me that way? Yes. Absolutely he does. Because I expect to hear from him every moment of every day and every breath that I take. Let me give you an example. We live in a trailer park. Okay? We live in a 30-foot coach. It's pretty crowded. You've seen tiny house? Well, we got about a third of that. Okay? So all of the amenities that you guys have in your houses, washing machines, dryers, all that kind of stuff, we don't have. They have them at the clubhouse. Okay? They got a clubhouse. They got a nice swimming pool. All kinds of, it's wonderful. So I'm down there at the clubhouse, and I'm doing my homework. It's important because we got to do our homework every day. Okay, we got to stay up with the class. So I'm doing my homework, you know, and I'm doing the laundry because I want to have something productive to do while I'm down there doing that. And all of a sudden, this couple comes in, older than I am, which is about 4 days short of Methuselah. And this frail, and I do mean very frail, older lady, couldn't have weighed 75 pounds soaking wet. She had a basket of clothes that was soaking wet, weighed more than she did. It was another nice young man carried it in for him because they couldn't carry it. And they brought it in and set it down on the table. And they go, are these the washers over here? No, those are the dryers. The washers are over here. I said, here. Let me help you. Let me help you. I said, oh, thank you. She was fretting. She was frightened. She didn't know what was going on. Because the washing machine in their coach broke. And they have these stackables, or they have one that's both, it's washer and dryer. I don't know what they had. But they had already called this guy to come out and fix it. And, you know, they had a service dog, and she was very frail and very fraught, She was panic stricken. So I said, here, let me help you. I said, these are the washers. Why don't I have any change? I said, see that machine over there? You can put your credit card in there. They'll allow you to do that. Oh, that's great. So he brings his credit card out and he does it, and we do the wash. I take it, I pour it in, we poured the soap on it and everything else. And got it into the dryer. I'm not telling you that because I'm a nice guy. I'm telling you that because the Lord said, help these people. I did what he asked me to do. Hey, Lord, I'm busy. I'm doing my homework. Pastor D said I got to do my homework every day. That was God's work. Okay? That was God's work. Where are you working, God? I'm trying to find out in this book. No, I walked right up and slapped me in the face. Okay? That's what, you know, that's what it means to hear from God. So let's look at back at in 1633. These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. We want to have the proper identity. In the world you'll have tribulation. The question is why? Why is the world so full of tribulation? Well, it's real simple if we look at it in context of creation. Okay? So when we go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, this tells us who we were created to be. Then the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Nowhere else in the entire creation account does it say that God breathed his breath into them and they became living beings. When I look at that word breath, that includes the Spirit of God and wisdom and knowledge, his wisdom and knowledge. That's who we were created to be. He put that in us so that we would have the inherent ability to hear and communicate with him every second of every day. So what happened? Well, we have to go to Genesis 2, 16 and 17 and 3, 1 through 8. God commanded Adam one thing. He said, from the tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat from it you will surely die. Now, Adam had never experienced anything like that, and I think what he was thinking of, which is logical, this is what we would think, oh, you mean you're talking physical death. So that's what was on his mind. So now we go to chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, and we're all familiar with this. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said you shall not eat from the tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat from it or touch it or you will die. Well, first of all, he didn't say that. Second of all, if you look at the context, Eve wasn't there when the instruction was given to Adam. She wasn't created yet. That command was given to Adam. So he was given the keys to the kingdom. So I don't know what Adam told Eve. It doesn't say that in Scripture. Maybe he wanted to put some extra emphasis on it. Don't eat it. Don't even touch it. Because if we do, we'll die. So maybe she was saying it from that context. I don't know, but it doesn't matter. You will surely not die, the serpent said. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, the question is, well, what? Is God holding something back from me? Is he not giving me his very best? Is there something else that I should have that I don't have? Creating fear, uncertainty, and doubt. He's really good at that. You know, the word fear that a lot of us have, it stands for false evidence appearing real. If you're afraid, ask the Lord, is this false evidence appearing real? What should I do? How should I respond? And wait to hear from him. That gives you a good context of, instead of hitting the panic button, saying, wait a minute, what is this? You will surely not die, for God knows that in that day you eat, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. See, Eve gets a bad rap. Yeah, she took the first bite of the fruit. But the guy that really blew it was Adam. He was standing right there. He did not do what God had instructed him to do, which is to be the defender and protector of your family. What did he do? Let's see what happens. I guess it might be okay, but, you know. And she took a bite. And guess what? She didn't die physically. She died spiritually. So Adam, looking with his eyes and with his senses, says, well, my wife didn't die, so must be okay. God was lying to me. Well, guess what? As soon as he took the bite of that fruit, that spiritual connection was severed, was gone. And now, all of mankind, all of us, needed a connection. It was gone. And we know it was disastrous because it says, they knew that they were naked and unafraid and sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees in the garden. First time in their entire life they were afraid. They knew they had made a mistake. They had really messed up. They were afraid. They knew they were naked. They never knew that before. They didn't know how to deal with it. Okay? So we know that that happened with them. What happened when God created us is we were God-centered. We took our leading from God. Everything came from him. And when the sin took place, we immediately became self-centered. We took all of our direction from ourselves. We no longer listened to God. We couldn't listen to God. There was no connection. That's why when we talk with people that are unsaved and we talk with them about the Bible, they have absolutely no clue what we're talking about. They don't have a connection to God. We look at them and we talk to them about the Word of God and all the things that are true, and they look at us like we're stupid. Why? Because they don't know the one we are talking about or talking to. They think I'm talking to some ghost someplace. That's why, Gary, what's that scripture we were talking about this morning? That's why we need to be ready by listening to the Holy Spirit to do what, Gary?
1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect.
That's exactly what happened when that girl went to class and she looked to find out where God was working, and this girl walked up to her and said, 12 of my friends and I are trying to do a Bible study, and basically we don't have a clue. Do you know anybody that can help? Well, was she ready to give a testimony of why she was the way she was? Absolutely. What happened? 5 Bible studies started. They tried for 2 years to do it in their own strength, and it didn't work. Well, there's a big surprise. We have to pay attention. We have to look. And the neat thing is we can ask him, where do you want to work today, Lord? I just want to come alongside, and I want to get involved. I want to be part of that. Okay? How do we do this? There's 3 basic ways that we as human beings receive input. One is hearing, one is seeing, and one is feeling. Now, most of us, I'd say about 60% of us hear it. And you know this because when you're talking with someone, you say, well, you know, I hear what you're saying. There's a clue. I'm one that hears. So you should expect to hear from the Holy Spirit. Not necessarily voice. I've heard that a couple times, and that's when he really wants to get my attention. I have actually heard a physical voice say in my ear, Mark, stop! Okay. Don't give up. Don't quit. You're about to receive a miracle. Okay. Well, at the end of the day, I did receive that. We were selling a house in Connecticut. We were on the tail end of a real estate market. And it was really up there. And we needed to sell this house so that we could move back to Ohio, stay in obedience to God. Because our daughter was headed down the path of destruction and straight into hell. And someone had offered to buy the house, and it was the price that we wanted, and all this kind of stuff, and we were going to make the money we needed to do what we needed to do in Ohio. And they backed out. Real estate agent said, I got some bad news for you. This market is collapsing. It's the last, that was our last best hope. You don't want to hear that from your real estate agent, right, Nate? You don't want to hear that. And I said to the real estate agent and Debbie, I said, don't worry. God will take care of this. She looked at me and said, huh? And Debbie actually said this. I don't know if she remembers or not. She says, I wish you'd get out of La La Land. Well, guess what? I need to live in La La Land. So that next day, I had a trip to go to Boston. And I'm in the car, and the enemy is screaming at me, that house is never going to sell. You're never going to go back to Ohio, and I'm going to kill your daughter. I'm about to give up. I'm about to start crying. And the Lord said, stop. You're about to receive a miracle. I said, okay. Went on about the day, had a good day, got back. And the next thing I know, it's the real estate agent at the door. I said, well, here we go. She said, you're not going to believe this. I said, I'm going to believe it. She said, that buyer came back with a $10,000 non-refundable deposit on your house, and their loan has been approved. I said, I believe it. I believe it. And it happened. And she said, man, I need to live in La La Land where you are. That's, you've got to, hear from God when you're in those kinds of situations. Okay, or it could be you're talking with somebody and they say, or you say, oh, I see what you're talking about. So that means you're a visual person. And God knows this. He created you. He created you to hear from Him as He designed you to hear or see or feel. Well, you know, I don't feel right about that. There's maybe about 4% of people that are like that. The rest of us are hear or see. Okay? But that's how God has created us. There has to be a way for Him to communicate with us. And that's what's important. Okay? So, who has He created us to be? And that's really pretty simple. Once I get to my notes. All right. Yes, you can.
Yeah, I just want to say, too, you know, when you're talking about that, and God does, and I've heard that audible voice as well, you know, a few times, but most of the time, I think it's just being attentive to where He's working and
yes.
then listening to that still small voice, you know, almost like a gentle whisper in your heart, in your head, and it's usually contrary to what you want to do or the direction you want to go. Or the thinking of the thoughts of that you want. And it's usually in a more godly way, in a more challenging way. So most of the time, it's just listening to that still small voice and then being obedient to when he asks. Sorry to interrupt you.
No. That 99% of the time, that's how he speaks to me. I mean, if there is a mighty rushing wind out there, that's usually circumstances. Okay, if the world is very, very loud, that's the enemy. They're saying, look at this, look at that, look at the other. Don't listen to him because he is being quiet and wanting to speak to you in the spiritual.
I think it was the experience in God's Bible study, but we were, thank you. But like we were talking about like, a Peter, you know, and like mm-hmm. the boat. And like it, you know, waves and everything were crashing
yeah.
around. He was trying to, you know, create noise and trying to distract him from, you know, keeping his eyes on Jesus and focusing on him.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, Jesus calls us to do something, and you know, or in Peter's case, he volunteered. He said, "Hey, Lord, if it's you, call me and I'll come to you." And the wind was blowing and crashing and waves and everything else. And Jesus said to him, yes, come to me. Well, guess what? He got out of the boat, took some steps, and then he stopped looking at Jesus and started looking at the waves and hearing the noise and everything else, and he started to sink. Many people think that he failed in that conquest, and I don't. I think he was very successful. Why? Because when he realized that he was really in deep trouble, he hollered at Jesus, help me! And he reached out and lifted him up, and they got back in the boat. Now, if he had failed the test, he would have drowned. He did not. Okay? He did not drown in the middle of the trial or the tribulation or the circumstance. He did the right thing. He called on the name of the Lord because in Acts it says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, we're talking about eternal salvation, but we can also be talking about physical. We could either or, both. I mean, I could tell you some other stories, but we don't have time. So, you know, when we become born again, that's where we get reconnected. That's when the Spirit of God comes back into us, and that's an individual choice. And I asked the Lord about that. I said, you know, you got to do this one-on-one. Before with Adam, you did the whole thing. But now each one of us has to make that individual choice. He said, that's exactly right. And let me tell you why. Because before, when I did it, and I knew it was going to happen, it wasn't a surprise. This was all part of the divine plan. I knew that he was going to sell out and that everybody would be disconnected. But I want everyone to know that I love them and they love me. And that can only be done one-on-one. That's why it's individual. What has he created us to be? Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9. Somebody want to look that up and read it for me? Whoever gets there first, just read it. 4, 7 through 9. Somebody else look up Jeremiah 18, 2 through 6. Okay, read it for us, please. Hope. Seven through nine.
Okay.
2 Corinthians,
mm-hmm. chapter 7 through 9.
4, 7 through 9. Yes.
Now instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him, so that
Second Corinthians.
Oh, chapter 4.
Yeah.
We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed.
He put his spirit in fragile beings. Very fragile. Afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed or confused, but not living a life of despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Who's got Jeremiah 18, 2 through 6?
I have it.
Okay.
In just a second. Jeremiah 18, 2
through 6. God speaks to Jeremiah and says,
go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Oh, keep going.
Yep.
Then the word of the Lord came to me. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel.
Lord, I don't want to do that. You didn't make me to do that, did you? The best example I can give you of what we think is great wisdom, God thinks is foolishness, is Peter and Paul. When they received the Holy Spirit and the direction from God, God sent Peter to the Jews. Uneducated, didn't know anything, and he was going to go talk to the scribes and the Pharisees about the Lord Jesus Christ. He should have sent Paul. And Paul said, Jesus, I'm grateful that you saved me and I know it, so you need to send me to the Jews because I can prove to them that you are who you say you are. You know what he said? Get out of town, they're going to kill you. He sent them to the Gentiles. God, you didn't create me to do this. Oh, yes, I did. And I intend to use you as you are. You know what that is? It's just like this. This is a bean pot. Okay? It's a ceramic made out of clay, baked in fire, and glazed. And you look at it and you say it's worthless. Well, as a pot, yes. But when it has the contents in it, it's more valuable than you can know. If you are carrying this bean pot and you're walking through the desert and you know where there's some water and there's somebody that is dying of thirst and dehydration, and you go to that water and you fill this pot with water, do you think that guy's going to say, well, who made that pot? Where did you get that thing? Did you get that thing from over here or over there? No! Give me some water! That's who we are. It's the pot doesn't have any value of its own. That's who he created us to be. He created us to have our value, him in us. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's where the value comes. And that's when we give the account that God has done in our lives and people say, I want to talk to you, dude, because you're not falling apart. I'm dying over here. I need what you've got. Tell me about it. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. You think God's drawn that person? Do you think he's drawn them to somebody besides you or to you? He's drawn them to you. The good news is when he comes to you, you can say, okay, Lord, you're on. And guess what? He'll do it. He will testify through you about himself. And it's exactly what that person needs to hear. Take the pressure off yourself and put it back on God where it belongs. He's doing the drawing. He's doing the teaching. He's doing all those things to bring them to us so that we can say, da-da-da-da-da-da, here's God. And he will tell them. He'll talk to them. He'll comfort them. He'll show them how much he loves them. Through you. And when you're done with that encounter, you're going to go, wow. I didn't know where that came from. Well, you do know where it comes from. It comes from him. I can't tell you the number of times I've said, man, Lord, I've studied the Word of God a lot, and I know I read that a while back, but whew, that was awesome. And the people are extremely blessed by it. And the last thing is that it's in Isaiah 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. And all of us are at work in your hand. He is the one that forms us into what he wants us to be so that he can use us and allow Christ in us to be the hope of glory to a lost, fallen, hurting world. And it works every time we try. That's what it's all about. The best thing I can suggest to anyone here that thinks they don't hear from God or that they shouldn't hear from God is to say, go sit in a quiet place, open your Bible, and say, Lord, teach me what you would have me know. Show me what you would have me see. And tell me what you would have me hear. That I may be a better, more willing, and obedient child of God. And when you do that, he'll open that up for you like nothing you've ever experienced before. Because he's the author of the book that we're all reading. He wants to take the time to explain each word to us. But he's waiting for us to invite him to do so. And the Holy Spirit is waiting right there. Because Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will not speak of himself, but of what the Father says and what I say. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are waiting for each one of us to pray, teach me,
Show me. Tell me. And he does it. It is a life-transforming exercise. It will change your life. And the best news is it will change the lives of the people in your family and the people around you. That's who God wants to minister to, through you. And chances are you don't even have to go across the street. You don't have to go 3,000 miles. You can do it in your own home. I heard the prayers this morning for family members, for spouses. Oh, they're hurting. They're in pain. They're in agony. Divorce is happening. Unhappiness. Oh, Lord. Let's just finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we come. And I hope that everyone that leaves here today leaves with an expectation to hear from you through your Holy Spirit. Teach us what you would have us know. Show us what you would have us hear. And tell us so that we can become better, more willing, and obedient children of God. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you.